Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Gridiron Blitz, right here on TuneIn, Blog Talk Radio, Apple Podcasts, and now on Player FM. So alongside Luis Bean, Holly Custis, Troy Wilson, we won't have Mackenzie Brooks today, but we will do without Salty today. And we're going to be talking women's gridiron news and notes right off the bat, as a lot of things have, you know, starting to build up as we go towards the spring. And then we have international news as well in Europe, as well as Australia, heated up out there. And in Mexico as well with Lexfa and FX Mexico. So we're going to be talking also NFL week 9, and then we're going to week 10. We're going to talk in college football week 10 and week 11. I always have to get those, you know, kind of corrected on there. Talking the Sunday night football, Thursday night football, Monday night football, preview next week as well. And then we're going to be talking a little bit about the college game in terms of what's going on there and what to watch for as we get into bowl season and the college football playoffs as well. So, Luis, is that you on the line?
It is.
How are you doing today?
I'm good. How's it going? Yeah, I think Salty's coming on second hour.
Okay, well,
so
she said she might not.
Oh, okay.
So, from what I was told earlier, she was not able to because she was staying a little longer at her job. So things happened there, I guess. I hope you voted. I turned in my ballot about a week ago, so I hope everybody voted. If you didn't vote, I hope you're out there voting. I think some of the polls still open till about 8 p.m. in certain states.
Yep.
So it's, you know, you want to go out there and vote. One of the things that people kind of misconception out of the whole voting process is, you know, your neighbor or your friends just tell you to vote whatever, but it's very important that you pay attention and read, you know, what everybody stands for, you know, in terms of the governor, senator, and all that stuff. In terms of politics in general, you really want to dive into, you know, what candidates offer you locally, you know, what is benefited in your state. I know along the lines, everybody wants to vote, you know, the national theme. But in reality, the national theme doesn't do anything for you. It's really the local races in your state and, you know, the governorships, the House and the Senate. Those are very important. So a lot of people kind of, you know, my brother told me to vote this, but they have no clue about issues and stuff like that. So it's very important that when you go to vote, spend some time reading about all the issues that are going about. Because you want to be an informed voter, not just somebody that just bubbles in whatever needs to be bubbled in. I'm not a party guy, so I don't go on, you know, oh, by the way, I'm Democrat and Republican loyalty. No, I'm in for who's going to benefit me as an individual in my state and who's going to benefit my neighbors and who's going to benefit me in terms of my livelihood. Because I know for a fact here in California, for example, we got a ton of potholes and we got a homeless issue and nobody's been able to fix it. So it's kind of an issue where you really have to pay attention to your local candidates, your national candidates, your state candidates, and really pay attention to about how it affects you. Because, you know, I know for a fact here, it's like, you know, we're getting taxed to death on gas. So that's a big issue. So a lot of people, not just, you know, because you're Democrat or Republican, everybody in general gets affected when, you know, somebody gets high tax. So make sure everybody go out to vote. I think Troy's on. So make sure you guys voted. It's election night. It's the Gridiron Blitz edition of the election night. So I hope everybody voted and going forward here. And then we'll see the results and see what happens. Kind of exciting times as well because it's every vote counts. And if you don't think it doesn't count, it does count. So just got to go out there and do it.
Yeah, I think it's a big deal. In Montana, it's a big deal having to do with the Senate. In fact, Trump has come here twice, and we only got 1 million people in Montana. So, yeah, everything's a big deal. So, way to go on your vote for voting.
Yeah, and I mean, just get out there on the pole. If you can't get out there, like I was helping my neighbors because I live in a neighborhood where there's a lot of older people. So I was really helping them to try to send in their ballot. You know what I mean? Mail in their ballot, collect their ballots.
Oh, yeah.
Send them in. Because there's a lot of people with disabilities and things like that. So, you know, when you get around with your neighbors, there's always somebody that needs help. You know, somebody that needs a hand or somebody that needs to just, because they want to vote and they can't get there. So it's, you know, mail-in ballots are as important as you getting up to the poll. So, Troy, how's it going today, this week?
Yep, good job.
Pretty good, man. I can't complain, you know. Got to take in a lot of football this weekend, relaxing. So, yeah, I just enjoyed myself and just lay back and chill, man.
That's right.
I hope you voted. I hope you voted, Troy.
Oh, I voted good and early this morning. I was up around 7 at the polls, 7 in the morning. So, yeah, I'm in and out.
Awesome, buddy. Good. That's my whole theme today. That's our theme today. It's just, you know, go out and vote, you know, and be mindful of what, you know, the candidates are and be mindful about what they bring to the table and locally and nationally. So there's a lot of things to read. It's kind of like a homework project that you got to get done. So it happens. And so I'm glad everybody that was taken care of. And like I said, I helped out some neighbors with their mail-in ballots and stuff like that. So each state is different. I mean, I'm in Cali. I have no idea what D.C. looks like. And you're in Montana. Every state has its own intangibles about, you know, what benefits you, what doesn't, what candidates benefit you, what party benefits you, all that stuff. So, you know, a reality is we got to go out there and vote. Every vote counts. Just make the vote count. And we'll end up seeing the results in terms of, you know, what happens. So it's exciting times in terms of politics. Troy, what do we say about the Redskins?
Well, it's sort of the same of what I've been saying. I like what they're doing, you know, running the football, especially on offense. I like what they're doing, but my issue has always been what happens when you stop Adrian Peterson? And we've seen that show, you know, times already. So that's been my issue. That's still going to be my issue going forward. The other one is, I mean, and that's not an excuse why we lost this game, but, you know, we had 3 injuries to starting offensive players. 2 of them were guards. It's looking bleak right now, man. So, you know, we'll see how quickly Callahan can get these guys up and running. The offensive line coach, Bill Callahan, he's a genius at this stuff. So we'll see how he can get these puppies going. So we'll see going forward. I was just surprised that the defense surrendered so many points. But, I mean, they basically did what Indianapolis did and also what the Saints did, was they ran crossing routes and pick plays and, you know, I was screaming that out on Twitter, and then, you know, somebody from the Redskins must have said something. Not from my tweet, of course, I'm just saying, but somebody said something up to the effect of, hey, look, man, these guys are picking us all game. And then the refs started to call those plays. I think they were calling for 3 of those pick plays in the second half, but it was interesting to watch. I mean, it's a Jekyll and Hyde team, and they're going to have to fix that if they want to go forward. I mean, luckily right now the NFC East is weak, but you know, we'll see going forward. They're Jekyll and Hyde for me right now.
Louise, the dumpster fire that is the Oakland Raiders and, you know, the Battle of the Bay, and we get this new quarterback, Mullins, out of the Niners, and I thought Holly was going to be on today with us, but she's not. But the Niners rebound, they seem like the Cleveland Browns when Mayfield won that game, just not as excited in California. But they were real excited that they got the win. So, I don't know. It's just that we're going into the next week, and we'll see if that, you know, excitement is going to be good for this, for the Niners coming in next week. I think next week San Francisco is – let me see here. San Francisco is taking on the G-Men. So maybe they'll keep it going, two wins in a row.
Well, it was interesting to see the third-string quarterback come in and act like it was no big deal and put up a bunch of numbers and just inspired that team and played well. And so, gosh, you know, I know where he went to college, and now I just can't think of it. But
it's where Brett Favre went to college.
Oh, Southern Ole Miss.
Yeah, Ole Miss.
Southern Miss or Ole Miss, yeah. Southern Miss, yeah. So I think that's just the fun part about sports is you just think, oh, I'm your third straight quarterback, what we're going to do. Now, Oakland struggles to play inspired football, and
you think, Louise?
just a little. and their, their head coach goes on an interview and says, everyone wants to play in Oakland. Everyone wants to play in Oakland. And, I get that it's a building project, but you can still have a building project and have players given their all. So I think that's a struggle. Obviously, they're not going to fire him anytime soon because they owe him a lot of money. And I do think he needs more time, at least to try and see if he can figure it out and right the ship and just all those kind of things. But I thought it was cool to see just a third-string guy come in and play well. So, but Oakland isn't a very good defense, so we'll see what happens next week. But I love that kind of stuff. I love it when a guy comes in that no one knows and inspires his team because that's what sports is about. So,
Troy, what do we say of the Lions? Are they collapsing? Because the Vikings seem like they're going neck and neck with the Bears here, and Vikings just literally tear up 24-9 against the Lions. They get rid of Golden Tate, and so all of a sudden, what? You got no other weapons or what? Because that's literally what it kind of seemed at this point. So Patricia is either doing the same thing Oakland's doing in a better way, I guess, not selling the farm so quickly.
Well, I think Patricia is kind of trying to channel his inner Bill Belichick, get rid of a malcontent. Maybe it was some things in the locker room going on. I'm not sure, but you don't trade away your best player unless, there's some issues or maybe a pending contract issue. But, nonetheless, it happened. But, right now they're a dumpster fire. And the only thing that can save Patricia right now is, he's a first-year coach. And he can come back and say, look, I'm trying to do something. I'm trying to change the culture here. I got a plan going forward. So if the owner believes in the plan, the Lions are looking more long-term. The bad thing is they're rebuilding while you have a really, really good quarterback, Matthew Stafford, who I think if you surround him with talent, this guy can be, I think he'd be one of the more upper echelon guys. I think right now he's considered kind of more middle of the road, and he doesn't get the respect that he deserves. But I think because he's had a weak past around him. But, during those rebuilding years, and who knows, unless it's fast, then, it may be a good thing for him. But I think that's the sad thing about the Lions, man.
Luis, the Chiefs are Mahomes and company. They're for real. They take care of Cleveland, which we all expected. So now we have no undefeated teams because the Rams get a reality check by the Saints. So Kansas City on track right now. And we talked about Hunt last week, and Troy was, like you said, nobody's paying attention here. So Kansas City just continues to steady the course.
Well, Kansas City is Kansas City in the sense of what the market that they're playing in. So it's like no matter what Dallas does, everyone's got to talk about Dallas, whether they're good or bad. So Kansas City gets attention in a certain amount because of their quarterback, because of their talent and stuff, but they're just still in Kansas City. So I think they sometimes can tend to fly under the radar, similar to how New Orleans does. But you can't ignore them. They're high-powered. They are clicking. They have a lot of confidence. They have the ability to throw screen passes and the guy can take it to the house. And that just doesn't happen in the NFL on every team. It just doesn't happen. And so... but your Rams game, that was a great game. It's a good game. I meant to tell you that I saw your head coach. They tested him because you've heard that he has this great mind, this great memory, right?
Yep.
Everything about them. So I don't know if you saw this, but they tested him on a game last year. So the interview guy says to him, okay, it was 3rd and 9. There was 12 minutes left in the game, and what play did you call? And he said the play. And the guy had the sheet in front of him so he could make sure he was right. And he asked him 3 times, and it was about games last year. And he could correctly tell the interviewer what the play was that he called. And, play calls are not short play calls in the NFL. I was just blown away. I was just blown away. Like, what kind of memory is that? So, and Gurley's the halfway point MVP, offensive MVP, according to, of the season, league-wide, according to ESPN. So, good times out in L.A.
Well, you know what, Troy, you saw the game, obviously. Peterson gets beat badly throughout the game. That's basically the difference, one score. But it's the same thing. You give Aaron, you know, it's like giving Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady some time. You give Drew Brees time, and he's gonna burn you in the end, especially under 3 minutes. And that's really what happened.
Yeah, man, that was. I mean, it was kind of what we thought it was gonna be. You know, it was gonna be a shootout game. But man, I mean, the Saints in that dome. I mean, that's just you know, a recipe for trouble. I mean, it's really hard to beat them there. So, you know, I wasn't really surprised that they lost, but I really think if it were in the Coliseum, I think the Rams would have won. I just think really that home field advantage is the thing that puts them over the top. But right now, you have to say the Saints are the best team in the NFL, you know, because everyone, you know, at the top has those records between Kansas City, and they beat the Rams head-to-head. So right now, they are the number one seed in the NFC, and you know they're starting to think about playoff seeding, and that's going to be a huge advantage. So, both of the the Rams, they got some catching up to do, and it's a possibility, of course, if these guys lose. But I mean, they better keep pace with it.
And we knew that last week. You were the one that mentioned it. This was their biggest test, and you knew coming in here, like you said, this is not an ordinary quarterback. This is a Hall of Famer, and at home. And you got an unbeaten team coming into your house, and you're 7-1, and you're not getting the respect, even a mention. You knew they were up for it. I mean, they were up big time at halftime until the Rams kind of start trekking back in. But the attitude was there. You could see the swag from the Saints going, "Hey, this is our house. We're not leaving here with a loss."
Yeah, man. I mean, you had to love that, man. I mean, just the way that they came out on fire. Because, I mean, every now and then you'll see a team that's coming out with a supposedly a big game and they come out flat or, you know, they make a mistake. But, man, they came out just firing and went right down the field on the first drive, scored a touchdown, just to let them know they meant business. And they were flying around on defense. I mean, they were buzzing in there, man. So, I mean, look, everyone has to kind of bow down to them. Just like you said, they weren't getting their respect. So you have to respect them now because they beat a damn good team in the Rams. And, I mean, there's a lot of people out there that think that the Rams are still the Super Bowl team. So that could be even more motivation for the Saints going forward.
Luis, what do we say to this kid Trubisky? Takes care of the Bills. What do we say of the Bills? Dumpster fire as well. But you know what I mean? It's like Trubisky, Gabriel, Cohen, Mac. Next week they get Detroit, which is another laughingstock. So it could be an easy win for them, but they literally own the North now, if you think about it. Besides Minnesota, maybe challenging at this point. Chicago, surprising team of the year. Mike Nagy, I think, is the coach, has kind of turned it around, put some pieces together here. Young quarterback playing well. What do you think of the Bears so far?
Well, they are playing Buffalo, and, you know, Peterman can't withstand injury or just bad luck and stuff like that. But early on in the season, no one was giving Chicago and Trubisky very much credit, and I just think they thought, well, Chicago hasn't been good for a while, consistently good for a while. And I think Chicagoans have had that quarterback non-belief bug with their past quarterbacks before Trubisky. So I think it took them a little while to believe in him and for him to consistently prove himself. And in Green Bay, you know, it's not keeping up in the race. And so I think Chicago is still definitely beatable. It just depends on how the season plays out. I just don't think they're the premier team. I think they're echelon two. But they're playing well. They're beating who they should beat. They should beat Detroit. As Troy was saying, Stafford, it's just, you know, they should be better with overall as a team with him. It's just they just when they had talent, and then I don't know, that's a frustration. If you're a Detroit fan, that's a frustration. But they'll beat Detroit. I think they'll continue to onward and win their division, so we'll see.
Troy,
Did I cancel it?
Are you still there?
Yep, still here.
Okay, great. I thought maybe I dropped off or anything like that. Troy, what do we say of the New England? Are they're on track? This NFC East, I mean the AFC East, it's kind of just a mess between the Dolphins, the Bills, and the Jets. So I guess we just have to say the Patriots are going to just own it once again.
Well, I mean, this has been what has happened in that division the last, 18, 19 years. I mean, Patriots have just owned that division. And as long as, Tom Brady and Belichick are there, it's just going to be that way. I mean, that's just how it is. They're that good. So, and then not to mention those franchises haven't really helped themselves either. So they haven't made the best move in personnel. So, yeah, I'm not surprised at it, man. I mean, they just, the Patriots, you hate them or love them, but they get it done. And they can flat out coach at the highest level with Belichick, man. I have so much respect for for Belichick because of the way he just commands, he just does football. And so I just love the way they run their franchise. I'm a big fan of them. But, yeah, that's just how it is in that division.
Troy, you weren't surprised that Rodgers got beat, right? I don't think any of us were surprised. Just that he doesn't have enough weapons. Everybody's injured, things like that. And the Patriots literally just come in 31-17 to take care of Rodgers and company. But overall, it was a decent game. Just got away from the Packers at this point. Salty's not here, but we can poke fun if we want to. She'll be back next week anyways. So, Luis, you're the Cowboy fan in this group, Mariota and company. And what do we say of – I mean, I was on Twitter. Troy, you were on Twitter. And Cowboy fans, and I'm pretty sure in Kishi Free too, everybody in Cowboy land was just literally pissed off, crying, or demanding for Garrett's head or to be dismissed. I don't know what happened there. But you have Elliott, and you rather pass. What is up with this?
He didn't get a single touch in the fourth quarter.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. They just aren't that good as a team. The shovel pass that Mariota did was awesome. Forward shovel. Do they call it a shovel pass if it's still pitched forward? I guess that's a pass, yeah. So I don't know if you guys saw that play, but it was a read option, shovel forward, right in the middle, scored a touchdown. It was great. Great play call executed. Dallas just isn't good. Obviously, when you're a Dallas fan or any fan and you're thinking, okay, seriously, we stink and we don't know what to do, but we got to do something. And that's what people want. They want something. They want someone to do something to make it better. So I feel like it's similar to the Giants, where there's talent there, but they're just not a good team. And Jerry Jones said that they're going to sign Dak next year. Sometimes I think it's the fault of Jerry Jones, but I don't know. They're just not very good. They just don't have the talent all over the place, and I think they struggle. I think their offensive system isn't very creative, and I don't think it brings out the best in who they have. That's my opinion.
So I will tell you one word that somebody mentioned to me. This is a Jeff Fisher-led Cowboys. Disaster is the word. Disaster.
Yeah.
It's like having Steven Jackson and not using Steven Jackson.
Yeah.
It's literally what it is. I mean, it's just bad. Troy, Mariota, impressive. Titans, continue to stay in the race here in their division with Houston and everybody else. So I was impressed. Were you impressed?
You know what? You've seen that from the Titans before, and you also see them come back and lay a clunker out there. So you never know what team you're going to see with the Titans. The good thing is that Mariota, his hand is starting to get healthy now. And he was having a nerve issue. He had to wear the special glove. He went without the glove this game. He looked pretty good out there. He was running. He was throwing well. So they look like they're back on track. So I like what they're doing going forward. And you know, looking at Jacksonville's, they're a mess. You know, we thought they were going to do much more, but you know, they haven't fixed whatever they got going on. The Colts, you know, they're not very good right now. They have a good chance to take this division. So, and you know, Houston's right there with them also. So, but I like what they're doing. You know, going forward right now. But again, sometimes they play good. Sometimes they don't show up.
That's the key, I think, for them is, do they show up week to week or not? And so the Sunday night game was pretty nice. I watched it. It was really good right before, you know, right after the Rams and Saints game. Texans get, edge the Broncos. Troy, this Denver team, very close every game the last 4.5 weeks, and they cannot punch it in to get a victory.
Yeah, it's hard for that team. I mean, they've had hard luck this season. Even the two wins that they had were close games. So I mean, they play even with a lot of these other squads, and they have a lot of talent on both sides of the ball. So you wonder, you know, how it's going to be going forward with them. And then you also traded Demaryius Thomas. I mean, I know they do have some more weapons on the outside also. So, you know, they just have to finish games. And you hear that all the time in the NFL, and that's what they're not doing. They're not finishing the games for whatever reason. So they got to clean that up if they want to, you know, be competitive. But, I mean, right now Kansas City's running away with the division. So it's going to be a hard climb for them, but they can finish strong if they get their act together.
Luis, are the Chargers under the radar, just like the Saints? In this AFC West, right below the Kansas City Chiefs. I got a couple fans that I know of here in Cali. They're already on the Rivers ride, and they're thinking they're going to sneak up on the Chiefs because at some point the Chiefs are probably going to slide. So what do we say of the silent Chargers here? They take care of the Seahawks 25-17, so pretty impressive with Gordon and company.
Yeah, I do think they're the silent Chargers. It's just been in the last week or two that people are starting to think, hey, they might be pretty good. Do you feel like living in California with all the moves in the cities, how do you feel like the fan base does? I just don't think the Chargers get a lot of national attention, and when they've been good in the past, they usually lose in the first round. So do you feel like their fan base is coming along, or what do you think? What's the persona? Curious about that with the Rams and the Chargers both there.
They have no fan base because San Diego officially disowned them.
Right.
So they got a little soccer stadium in Carson, and that's where they live, and there's nobody that goes to their games from what I'm told. So I have no idea how the owner is even making money. But anyways,
are the Rams
still
more
a good
the loved
product.
Ones?
I mean, they got no – Troy, this is like the opposite of the Raiders. The Raiders have a bunch of fans and the crappy product, and then – the Chargers are a good team and no fans.
You know, it's kind of hard for me to decipher, like, why they're in that stadium. I never understood that. Look, you're already going to be sharing a stadium with the Rams, right? Well, I mean, I guess they couldn't because of the Coliseum. You know, you also have the USC Trojans that play there also, so it just wouldn't have worked out. What about the old Anaheim? I mean, they should have done something, but a soccer stadium? Man, I would have just rather just stay in San Diego, you know, until, you know, this whole thing, you know, the stadium got built. But I don't know. They had to work it out the way that they did. Like, that's embarrassing because they have a good product that finishes. Last few years, you know, it's been hard for them. They get out to a slow start, and then at the end of the year they start winning. And this year they're starting to finally, you know, put it together and win early. So, hopefully they do garner more fans. A lot of us wish they moved back to San Diego, but I like the team that they have, and that's doing that, you know, without one of their best pass rushers out there also.
Luis, the Chargers get the Raiders next week. I can't help but laugh. So
where is it at?
How
far
like,
away? Where is it at?
I believe that it's at Oakland, if I'm correct. It is
okay.
In Oaktown. Another beating in Oaktown. I wonder how those fans are going to react. Because these Chargers are not the Niners. So I'm thinking, you know, 40 Burger, if River gets really good, It could be bad.
Yeah, I think Chargers will take care of that game. But, yeah, no, I don't think there's anything else to talk about on that. They're just going to win the game. And I don't see any changes in Oakland. I mean, they just aren't playing. I think there's internal stuff going on. I just think there's internal stuff. And if your players aren't
conspiracy?
Playing hard.
Louise, you got conspiracy going on? Gruden, conspiracy?
Yeah. I don't know. When your players aren't playing hard and they're getting paid, I mean, 49ers played hard, and maybe they need a certain player or quarterback just to inspire them. I don't know. Sports is unique, so that'll be interesting for your state.
I know. I'm assuming, Troy, the problem in Oakland is David Carr was crying, and you don't want a crying quarterback, and that
oh gosh
killed the whole mood, you know what I mean?
He denied it.
Of course he denied it.
I saw it on the replay. I was like, man, and I said that too. And I feel bad that I said that, man, but the first thing I said, dog, is he crying? And I had to look back.
Where's his sucker? Where's his sucker? Somebody took his sucker. Give the kid his sucker back.
I'm just kidding. Oh, my God. I was like, I mean, look, I don't know what happened to him, whatever happened to him. That looked like it hurt. He was really crying. I said, I feel bad for the dude, especially since they dragged him through the mud over it also. But, yeah, that's what I thought when I saw it, too.
So the marquee game next week is going to be Buffalo and the Jets. Troy, we're looking forward to that game. And the Jags and the Indianapolis Colts.
Oh, man. Game of the week.
I cannot wait to see that because I don't want to see any of that actually at all. So it's going to be – the beatdown game of the week is going to be Kansas City against Arizona, unless the Cardinals surprise us. But that would probably be the beatdown game of the week. And then it's going to be Chicago taking on Detroit, and the Patricia experiment continues for next week. I doubt Chicago is going to lay an egg against Detroit here. What else is here going on here? Oh, Washington, Tampa Bay. Troy, can you speak to that one? Are your Redskins going to upset Tampa Bay? Because Tampa Bay's on a downswing, and even Fitzmagic couldn't do anything this week.
Yeah, this is going to be a tough one, man, because, look, you got DeSean Jackson going back up against his old teammates. And, look, Fitzmagic, that's the way he works, man. Some weeks he's on fire. I mean, the other weeks he is cold as ice. So, I mean, this might be his hot week. And, look, he's played well against the Redskins. As a matter of fact, I don't think he's ever lost to the Redskins. So, you know, he plays well against his team. Yes, it's a different team, but also the Redskins have had a lot of injuries this past game. The Redskins' problem is they can't score. So if the Redskins' defense that we've seen most of the year shows up and is able to slow down their passing game, then the Redskins have a chance also. So it's going to be a great matchup. Hopefully it's not going to be a shootout because I don't think it will go well, especially with the way Alex Smith plays quarterback. You know, so if it becomes a shootout, it doesn't look good for the Redskins. So hopefully it's a low-scoring defensive game.
All right, Louise, the marquee game Sunday night, your Cowboys get to rebound against the Philadelphia champion Eagles, which I do not see that happening. But it's going to be in Philly, and I think they're going to get slaughtered, technically.
Yeah, they'll probably lose by 14. They might have Amari built in a little bit better. I think the problem with Dallas, other than management issues, is they think they play a scheme that they think they're better than they are, and they don't have the mano-a-mano matchup advantage. And so their play calling is just their offensive line isn't as good as it used to be. Philly's not too bad, and they're decent. And they have some good players. Dallas just got – they need to have more creative play calling and get their best players' touches other than just turning around and handing it off, hoping he gets yardage. They just got to put their people in different positions and spacing and motions and just stuff like that. They're not going to beat Philly if they don't do something creative. And then turn around the following week and just start talking about, like, oh, is Dak the – franchise quarterback, or, you know, just stuff like that. They've got to be creative. So that's a loss for Dallas.
Troy, the G-Men versus the Niners, Monday Night Football. Mullins versus Manning. So we'll get to see, you know, highlights here, whether the Niners get their second win in a row against the G-Men, or does Manning rebound and beats the Niners here?
See, you know, now this matchup, you know, before, you know, Nick Mullins came on the scene, this matchup just looked awful. I mean, we were all looking for something else to do on Monday.
I'm with you, man. I already had plans for that Monday.
Exactly. You know, I was going to go pick some apples at 8 o'clock at night. But now, Nick Mullins, you want to see if he's going to be able to you know, keep that momentum going, because everybody likes that kind of feel-good story, man. You know, came out of nowhere, all of a sudden he's a starter, and what if he finishes the season, like, just tearing it up? Everybody wants to see that. So now this matchup looks a lot better. And also, New York is struggling. So we want to see, you know, everybody loves Odell Beckham. So that's going to be you want to see how he's going to react also out there, and, you know, because he's such a great player. So now this matchup just looks a little better. So I think I'm going to go ahead and take this one in. So I'm going to stay in that night. Apples can work, man.
Luis, my Rams take out Seattle at home. This is a rebound game for them after getting beat by the Saints. Seattle got beat this past week, so it's kind of a rebound game for both teams. Crucial, more so for Seattle than for the Rams. I think the Rams can afford to drop another one if they needed to, but Seattle cannot afford to drop another one. So it's a big, you know, West clash.
Seattle was in that game at the end, and a lot of credit to Russell. But I think that the Rams are going to come out ticked. And I think they have more firepower, so I'm picking the Rams. And it's at home.
All right, Troy, Miami against the Green Bay Packers. Kind of the equal matchup here. The only difference is Rodgers. So I'm assuming Green Bay takes the win here.
Well, you know, they're still waiting to see if Tannehill is going to come back. I think maybe they put Tannehill on IR. So, you know, I'm looking for a get-right game. For the Packers, I just think, you know, they really want to try to keep pace with Minnesota and Chicago. So this is a must-win game for them. They're at home. I just think Green Bay with, you know, Aaron Rodgers, they're just going to be too much for them.
All right, Luis. I'm looking forward to Ryan versus Mayfield. Should be a good matchup. Cleveland has played pretty decent ball up to this point, even staying in some games, even though they've gotten beat, you know, by a touchdown or two. But a nice feel there. I think Atlanta pulled this one out, of course, but it's going to be nice to see Ryan versus Mayfield.
I like Cleveland. I like watching Cleveland. I think they get attention I think they play hard. They have a good defense. I think they play inspired. Like, I think they have leadership that is lacking on Oakland, for example. I think they're interesting and exciting to watch. Oakland's not exciting to watch. And same as Troy was talking about the 49ers. 49ers, you feel like there's something that makes you want to play hard, and I think that's at Cleveland. You know, it's interesting to see how it'll happen with their coaching and those changes and what happens with that. But I think, not this year, but I think Cleveland will make the playoffs next year. So, they'll still going to lose to Atlanta.
All right, you heard it here, Troy. Browns playoffs next season by Luis.
That's right.
We're going to have to keep it.
I'm on board with them.
Good deal.
Like, all right. So Troy, New England takes on Vrabel from Tennessee. Kind of familiar there. So Patriots. So Brady Mariota. That should be a good game as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Matt Vrabel and, you know, Caesar's old team, and that's going to be a great matchup. I really want to see which Tennessee team is going to show up. You're going to expect New England to be their typical selves and execute at the highest level. Tennessee, how are they going to react there? But I think Tennessee plays better in big games, so I think Tennessee actually has a good shot to win this. As a matter of fact, I think I will take Tennessee in this game to beat New England, especially with Tennessee at home.
All right, Louise, the last game here we're going to talk about besides Carolina Pitts Thursday night, which should be a good game, both matchups, but it's going to be New Orleans, Cincinnati, Dalton taking on Breeze. Breeze coming off that win, obviously going trying to make it, 9-1 at this point? They're 7-1, right? 7-1 or 8-1? 8-1?
I think it's 8.
They're 8-1, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So they're trying to make it 9-1, trying to keep pace with the Rams and Kansas City for top dogs. So I don't think Cincinnati is up to the par at this point against New Orleans. They're playing too good of a ball with Thomas and Ingram and everybody in company. And so I don't think even A.J. Green and Dalton are going to make a factor out of it.
Did you say it's in Cincinnati?
It's in Cincinnati.
Okay, so it's outdoor, right?
Yep, outdoor.
Okay, so they're not in the dome, and it could be bad weather. But the reason why I still think New Orleans is obviously they're good. I think they use the ability of their players to their strengths better. So, I follow them because they have Taysom Hill, who they use all over the place, and special teams, running back. He threw a 45-yard touchdown this week. Plays at wide receiver. So when you have players like that that can increase the dimension of your offense, it's like having with the Rams. They just have so many talented players, and so you can mix things up. So I think that's why New Orleans is a legit threat this year. They're just not dimensional, just a little single-dimensional or double-dimensional. They got all kinds of dimensions. So I'd be surprised if they lost, but Dalton's not a bad quarterback, but I still have them winning by 14.
All right. So, Troy, we'll finish up here. You're Pittsburgh, Carolina. Le'Veon Bell apparently has until, I believe, this middle of the month to come back, or it's done deal and not coming back. And Connor's played well. Roethlisberger's played well. Brown's starting to pick up his game. Carolina on the other side, you got Olsen playing well. Newton playing well. So it's going to be a good matchup on Thursday night.
Yeah, I mean, in the beginning of the season, people were hitting the panic button with Pittsburgh. I mean, they were saying this Le'Veon Bell thing may be, affecting them too much. But, look, Pittsburgh does what Pittsburgh does. They run a tight ship there also, just like, the Patriots do. And so you expected them to get it right and move forward. James Conner stepping up is the biggest thing for them because he has turned himself into a viable NFL running back. He's in the top five right now running backs in yardage right now. So he's doing well also. They fixed the defensive back issue. They had coverage issues. So they've taken care of all of the places that they need to take care of, and they do that with great coaching. And so do you like what they did? And then they beat a heated rival last week, one that beat them early in the season. So they got great momentum right now, and you like what you see from them. This is going to be a great test because they're playing Carolina, who also has that momentum. But Pittsburgh at home, man, that's going to be a tight one. So it's definitely going to be must-see TV, though. That's going to be a great game.
All right, guys. Let's go to college football briefly here until we get – because Luis is going to bail as well, and then we'll talk women's gridiron as well. So Alabama continues to roll. Clemson's top two. LSU, 7-2. Notre Dame, 9-0. Troy, where do we start here in terms of the playoff picture? I mean, the top 10 pretty much, they're shuffling in the middle, right? You got USF in 12th. You got Florida on the 11th. Ohio State, 10th. You got Kentucky in the 9th, plus Washington State, Oklahoma. So kind of like give us a perspective as with the playoff. Where do we stand right now after week 10?
So right now, if the playoffs were to start today, the four in right now would be Michigan as the fourth seed, Notre Dame as the third seed, Clemson as the second seed, and Alabama, obviously, is the number one seed. They've been dominant all season. So those would be the four that's in. If everything stays the same, if all of these teams win out. The only outside chances that you may have is if, any of those teams lose. So then, you know, Georgia would possibly be next up, depending upon if how the Oklahoma and West Virginia game goes. Also, Ohio State is still lurking there with one game. They could upset Michigan. They're playing that game against Michigan at home. Michigan hasn't beaten them in 13 years. Well, they've beaten them 12 out of 13 years ago. So a lot can happen, you know, before all of these things shake out. So it's going to be so many great matchups coming down to the wire at the end. And then, of course, at the end of the year, you're playing your heated rival. This is rivalry week. And, you know, all of these teams are going against each other. And anything goes, doesn't matter sometimes what the record is. That team could upset, you know, their heated in-state and sometimes interstate rival.
Luis, any matchup that you are looking forward to this week in the college game? I mean, this coming week 11, where we're at in terms of, you know, what games must watch, like maybe two or three of your favorites?
Oh, man, you know what? I haven't actually had a chance to even look ahead. They were calling the Alabama game the game of the century before it happened. I also read that the second-best team in the nation is Hurts and the backup. Alabama backup, well, when Hurts is playing. So, yeah, they're really good. And I just don't think anyone can really hang with them. There's, you know, quite a few one-loss teams. We got West Virginia. There were some great games this week. West Virginia, Michigan, Ohio State, Washington State, Georgia. Those are all the one-loss teams. And then you got Notre Dame and I would really like to see some cool thing happen. It won't happen, but I'd like to see some cool thing happen with UCF. They're undefeated, and just wouldn't it be cool to see? They'll probably get into a New Year's Day game, I'm sure, bowl. But Clemson's undefeated. Ohio State almost lost. So I haven't even had a chance to look at the matchups for next week. And the most important thing is that my BYU Cougars aren't good. Just putting that out there.
So welcome to the college ranks of the UCLA Bruins.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough.
I'm right there with you. We certainly aren't Michigan. That's all I got to say.
No.
Far from it.
No, yeah. That's a tough year for USC, UCLA, all your people. BYU lost in the last play of the game, as they did the week before. So, anyway.
Yeah.
But you do have
all right, guys.
Interesting matchups coming up. I mean, you got Clemson and Boston College. Clemson's number two. Boston College is number 22 in the nation. That's going to be a great matchup because that's one of those things where you can see an upset possibly happen. It's going to be in Chestnut Hill, Massachusetts. So Clemson has to travel up there. That's a long distance, and plus that crowd is going to be crazy. And Boston College, listen, that area up there is loud up sports-wise. So you got the Red Sox winning already. The Patriots are doing what they do. The Boston Celtics, they're a little bit healthier this year. The area is riled up right now sports-wise. So don't sleep on that game. That may be an upset in the making.
All right. You guys, let's go into the Women's Gridiron News and Notes. That way we get taken care of that. Probably going to be an hour here if we get out of here about another couple minutes. So I don't think we're going to be doing a two-hour show. We don't have any guests on today. So probably another 20 minutes here, and then we're going to be bailing out. But let's go into the international scene of Women's Gridiron. If you don't follow us, you need to go follow us at facebook.com/gridironbeauties, the hub of women's American football globally. That is your resource right there. And so it is facebook.com/gridironbeauties. Go to our Twitter feed at twitter.com/gridironbeauty and check out our Instagram as well. And you got the Brno Amazons champions, Rose Bowl 4 champions of the Czech Republic. And they're on our Instagram there, Maya Mariola, and I believe it's Sylvia Villanueva of the Brno Amazons on our Instagram as well. So you check it out there. And don't forget to go to Zazzle.com/GridironBeauties. Zazzle is our sponsor. It's been our sponsor for a long time. Check out the weekly sales this week, 15% off site-wide. November shop is your code. So check out, buy some leggings, T-shirts, anything else on our shop, and take advantage of the sales. You can also get for about $10 for the year. You get Zazzle Black in the U.S., so it's free shipping with Zazzle Black. So check out our stuff on our social media sites. And so you guys, Troy, WNFC announces they are now officially with the American Football Association. So they're going to be legit. They're hooking up with certain organizations. This is one of them that gives players benefits and perks and all that other stuff. So that's a real nice thing to do. And so, and then they got new videos going on as well this week. So if you catch it on our Facebook page, you got the video right there. So pretty big news for the WNFC.
Yeah, I mean, you know, once you go ahead and get legitimized at that point, you can just, you know, start rocking and rolling and implement your plan. So I'm looking forward to seeing how it pans out. I'm excited about it. I know OJ is going to do a great job in her leadership, so I can't wait to see what these guys do.
Louise, you're part of the WNFC, and right here it's they get hooked up with the American Football Association. So it's a really big move.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what that all really means, because sometimes organizations, and I'm not saying this is the case, will just attach themselves to another organization. So I don't know what that really, really means. It's like they also came out and said they having to do with the Rydell, but I don't know what that means. And so, but those are probably all very positive things. I saw also, the scheduling and the matchups, which is interesting in the sense of, like, for example, Falcons or San Diego. So San Diego's not playing another team, the Bobcats, who are in L.A. So you're not always playing the people in your area or your division. You're playing a lot of crossover division games. So while that is great, because there's only two divisions, so while that's great for matchups and interesting matchups and stuff like that, I don't know how that plays out into playoff seeding and stuff like that. Plus, it looks like every team has at least one long road trip. So the Falcons, for example, will travel to New Orleans, and San Diego travels to Denver. So there's definitely some travel associated with the league and just stuff like that going on. Yeah, they give each team $4,000, and that helps. But it's not a cheap flight from Salt Lake to New Orleans, so, and kind of impossible to drive. But I like the direction that they're going. I think it's positive, and you can only do the wait and see approach. So.
Yeah, and then the WFA adds Allie Hamlin to the advisory board that consisted of Katie Sowers, Liz Oakley, Linda Bach, and Mary Rose Roach. So that's huge right there too. They also announced their player advisory committee or council, as we talked in the previous week. So right there, Luis, Allie Hamlin, part of the advisory board. That's pretty strong. If you're looking at four or five females now, almost with some leadership skills and in the WFA. So they're trying to, I don't want to say compete with the WNFC with certain things, but I think they're just trying to make themselves either a better brand as their goal now.
Yeah, it seems like that. I think for both leagues, it'll be important on, you can have, it's kind of like the NATO. You can have all these world leaders, and yet they don't know how to get along sometimes or how to make good decisions. And so it'll really depend on what, to everyone to be able to figure out what the goals are, what we're trying to accomplish, what the brand is. It's one thing to come to the table and say, oh, we got these great ideas, but then can you implement them? Can you make them work out? I mean, right now they're super Division III bottom heavy with the WFA. Very few Division I teams. So it's hard, tons of teams. It's just that what's your focus? So I think it's a good move having all those people involved, the other league, I get the acronym wrong, but you know what I'm talking about, OJ League. They got a lot of great people involved too. Can they make it happen? Can they be effective leaders? Can they work together? Can they implement the proper changes that need to happen? Just because the WFA is the biggest league, I don't think they can just say they're the best. Just because you have big doesn't mean you're the best. And I think they need to implement some changes. So, in my experience with them, so, and with their leadership, so hopefully it's a good thing. I got no reason to think it wouldn't be. So, hopefully it happens to the best.
So, from an outsider, Troy, looking outside in, you got Hamlin, Sowers, Oki, Bach, Roach on that side. They're not all business-minded people. They're all former players, quality players, one big owner that, you know, had a team for a long time. And then when you look at the WNFC, you got big-time notable people. You got Welter. You got Jenkins. You got Christian over in Atlanta. You also have, Michelle. We talked to the commissioner. So there's a lot of things going on. There's Sewell. So more of a business approach on one side, and on the other side, more of just, well, how do we take the sport to the next level in terms of branding? But to Luis's point, more teams doesn't make you very viable and sponsorship friendly.
Yeah, I mean, because then, you know, even if you do get that, I mean, how then are you going to spread the pie? So, that, I mean, you're exactly right. I think a smaller league would be, it would allow for more competition if you think about it. So, you know, but we'll see. I think the WNFC is in a good position, to be a viable league, because they have some heavy hitters in that league too. So, you know, it's not just OJ that's at the top. You also got to talk about these teams that they bought in there. The Utah Falcons, you know, the San Diego Surge and the Rebellion. So, I mean, all of these teams, they're going to bring the, you know, great competition also. So, you fuse that with the business-minded folks. I think it's a great recipe, but, we'll go ahead and see. But I have a great feeling about it. I have a great feeling about it going forward. I think people will be happy with it.
All right, so we're looking at the Justice League versus the Avengers for 2019, if we can put it in perspective, I guess. There we go, our comic stuff. So we'll see which – Marvel, DC, Troy, we'll see who comes out on top, or Marvel, DC, which brand's going to be the favorable brand. All right, let's go to Europe and let's get the recaps going here. Europe and Italy, the CIFAF, the Italian league, it was week two. Lazio United, 6. They lose by 1 point to Pirates de Savona. And then you had the Serene Milan, 13-0. They win versus the underdog Bologna. So that was a week two there in Italy. You can get the recap of the matchup on our Facebook page at facebook.com/ Gridiron Beauties. You can go there, and it's courtesy of FIDAF News in Italy. So then you go to the Austrian League. The Newbie Dragons will be taking on Budapest Wolves this coming week. It is the playoff matchup. It is the winner will take the Dacia Vikings, champions of last year. It is going to be November 11th, this coming week. This winner will take on Dacia Vikings for the championship November 17th. It is a clash of former teams here. Dragons know themselves very well. The Wolves know themselves very well. And then the champions, obviously, it's a three-way monster here in this league, and they're no strangers. So we'll see who goes on top. The Newbie makes a return to the final if they beat Budapest, and also Budapest would make a return to the final. So both of them kind of eyeing that in terms of the Austrian league. We also have congratulations to the Dragonflies over in Moscow at the Moscow Cup. They finished second to the Moscow Sherries, who finished with gold. And then in Costa Rica, the Bulldog Flames beat the Goddesses 44-6. It is week three, I believe, in Costa Rica. And you can get the details there on our Facebook page as well, facebook.com/ Gridiron Beauties. And then we go into the congratulations to the Brno Amazons, 32-6. They take care and defeat the Prague Black Hats once again this year, Rose Bowl 4, and you get all the action highlights. Shout out to Lucas Lobart, our network partner out there in the Czech Republic, and courtesy also of CAFF, which is the Public American Football Association. So they share that out with us. So you can go to our Facebook page at Gridiron Beauties and check that out. So pretty awesome there. So let's go to Gridiron Queensland, November 3rd, week 12. Gridiron Queensland, the Stingrays, 106-0 versus the Raptors. Raptors finished the season basically winless. And Troy, we knew that coming in, the Raptors were going to be basically a stepping stone for everybody because you got the Ravens, Stingrays, the Thunder. So it was like a three-way race in the beginning of the season. And here we are, three-way race once again. Thunder beats the Ravens 20-0 with no Kristy Moran playing in this game, of course, because they, you know, next week they get the tune-up for the semifinals, and the Ravens basically get a bye week until the finals. So Bayside's ready to rock at this point.
Yeah, and they're typically in it all the time. So, I mean, you know, that's a great franchise over there, and you kind of expect that from them. So, you know, I'm not surprised about it at all.
Yeah, and the Thunder has been playing well the last couple weeks, 20-0. So they are going to be clashing with Stingrays. Thunder will be taking on the semifinals here. Semifinals are going to be November 10th, coming up this week. And then November 24th, Summer Bowl 2018. And the Ravens await. Who will they face, Thunder or Stingrays as well? So there we are. So that usually happens. So at the Gridiron Queensland, finals coming up here. So it's going to be pretty exciting next 2 weeks of action there. Moran, Troy, they keep the best running back that the Ravens have, Moran, because this is literally more of a move to where she doesn't get injured until the final when she needs to play. So it's a smart move, I guess, by the coaching staff.
Kind of the same thing Chicago used to do with Chrisdale Harris, I feel like.
Yeah, and why put your superstar at risk like that when you just, you know, you're already in the finals, so that's pretty good. Let's go to Gridiron West. Blitz. Let's go here. Oh, by the way, look at this. We will have Salty in the house after all. Salty in the house, Mackenzie Brooks. She made it. Mackenzie, what's going on?
Yeah.
How was your day? Did you go vote?
I did. I voted.
Awesome. Good job. Good job. You voted. Way better experience than your Cowboys last night. That's all I got to tell you.
Oh, God. I knew this was coming. Okay. Look. God.
But
okay.
Other than that, you know what I mean? It is what it is.
Jason Garrett needs fired.
It is what it is. You tweeted it out. It is what it is. You mentioned it weeks before. And you and everybody else in Cowboy land wanted Garrett gone or fired. That was the theme pretty much on Twitter last night. So. We're doing the women's recap right now. No, right. We're doing the women's recap right now, and then we'll get back to, you know, how you're salty feeling right now. So we're in Gridiron West over in Australia, Gridiron West, and we got the recap there by the Southern Gazette over in communitynews.com, and that's the highlights of the matchup there. You can go to our Facebook page at Gridiron Beauties. So the Blitz. Take care of the Curtin Saints, 32-0. Very, very good. They keep rolling. So after 3 weeks here, Blitz really doing their thing. And so 4 weeks. 4-0 is the Blitz. Vipers, Rottenham Vipers, really the surprise team of Gridiron West of 2018 here, 3-1. And they also take care of the West Coast Wolverines, 44-6. So it looks to me like this is going to be the race for the races as we're going into a couple weeks here into Gridiron West. The Saints fall to 1-2. The West Coast Wolverines are 1-2. And the Swan City Titans are 0-3. So, Mackenzie, this is going to be a battle here. Champions, the Blitz, after this is the second year in the league, they obviously want to prove to everybody else that they're the best team in this league. And then Rottenham, brand new squad, somehow, you know, maybe the coaching staff on the Rottenham men's squad helping really these ladies their game. And so they're very impressive early start here, 3-1.
You know, I feel like I should be surprised at that, but I'm not, because kind of like I said last week, you know, you got to kind of watch out for the new squads, especially if they've got the veteran experience coming into the new squad. You kind of have to watch out for that because, you know, once you get a bunch of veterans together teaching, you know, the first and second year players and coaching staff, magical things can happen. And, you know, this team has clearly showed it.
Yeah, and so that's the two teams that we got to watch for right now, Blitz, the Champs, and the Vipers in Gridiron West. You can get highlights on our Facebook page as well at Gridiron Beauty, so check it out there. And Troy, Lexpa, week three highlights, if you haven't seen them, go see them there. Nice video, week three. Lexpa in play in Mexico, so really a top two. It's kind of like, you know, the WFA and the WNFC technically in this way. So Lexpa, pretty awesome there. And then Troy, the FX Mexico season is also in play. Week three, the Raiders, 36-12. They beat the Lions. Sharks, 20-0 against the Gators. Courtesy photos of Artex photo. And you can check it out there as well. So the MVP, week three MVPs are on our Facebook page. So, Troy, this is going to be a pretty good race in Mexico. Week three, go through week eight. There's a couple teams standing out. Raiders, one of them. Sharks, another. So it's going to be pretty interesting in the next coming weeks as who stands out in the end here as we go towards the December.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, this is what it comes down to. I mean, this is a war of attrition for all of these teams. So the healthier teams, you know, if they can keep that momentum going, I mean, you know, it's going to be, you know, they can finish out the season strong. So this is around the time to finish it out. And so we'll keep an eye on and keep you guys posted.
All right. So if you guys missed any of the highlights, any of the recaps or anything that's happening internationally, we do have results coming up. FX Mexico is going to give us some results. We also are following about two other leagues in Mexico, UFAN, UFFAN, and we also follow WFL, LFB, and all the other leagues. So you always go to the hub at facebook.com/gridironbeauty. Stay in the know. Understand this is all everything women's American football globally. Thanks to our network partners that do an amazing job of supplying us with shared information, post, and press. And we do a great job with that. And we're going strong almost 10 years. And I cannot be more appreciative to everybody that has contributed to us, to making us what we are. And we're almost at 6,600 on Facebook. And so literally total, we're almost 20,000 strong on social media. And if you haven't used the hashtag NoJokeFootball, feel free to do it. NoJokeFootball, because that's what girls do. They play football, and their game is no joke. So use the hashtag on Instagram and on Twitter, NoJokeFootball as well. So, Mackenzie, a lot of stories also on our Facebook page. One of those is Callie Branson in the news, hotbed in the news all week this week and last week. She has been literally featured on everywhere you can think of, USA Today, Northern Virginia Mag, CNN. So she's been getting all these accolades, which is awesome for her. And on top of that, Darnell Mouth, her program is undefeated. They're 7-0. So that's even a bonus.
Absolutely. Anytime, you know, anytime you can get great accolades and your team is winning, it's pretty much a perfect week. So I'm glad that she's getting the recognition that she deserves. She's doing such a wonderful thing for women on the lower levels as far as, you know, becoming that big name coach. I'm excited to see how her team does the rest of the season. I really am.
Troy, you know what? She breaks the ceiling, glass ceiling, first coach, assistant coach, and whatever you want, officially on the Dartmouth college team. So that's huge. Troy, there? Mackenzie, are you there?
I am here.
Okay, I don't know if Troy dropped off. I still see him on my board. Troy, are you there? Oh, he might have dropped off. But no, Mackenzie, let's talk Callie Branson here because I think he dropped off on me. Let's talk Callie Branson here because that's huge. I mean, to go there and have the coach be so impressed with you and then give you the offer you the job, and now she's literally a focal point of this college team. It's really impressive. We got Troy back here. See if he's coming back on here. Troy, you sat next to Callie at the Divas versus Elite. And even then, back then, you know, we've interviewed her several times, and look where she's at now.
I'm sorry. What were we talking about?
No, I was saying about Callie Brenson. You know, Callie of the Divas, how she's getting all this press the last couple weeks here, and then her team's undefeated in college, and you've sat next to her, and you've talked to her, and we've interviewed her in the past. So it's a great feel story for her and a great moment for her, and also the fact that she's accomplished this at a university like that, and then they're undefeated right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you call, you know, setting the precedent. So you can knock off all of the, you know, can they coach a man, you know, or men's football at a high level. We've proven that already. So I just think really, man, that's really setting it off for women getting into coaching and being more prominent in a lot of these programs and also in the NFL as well. I think that's just a great thing.
Yeah, and you know her. You sat next to her, and she always came across as, hey, I got to get it done. You know, she's had in the past, she couldn't play. She couldn't do this. And then finally she got onto the Divas. She, you know, all-star in the Divas, champion in the WFA, Team USA champion. So just, you know, a lot of laboring, and the reward is right there, and she's proven it. And obviously the results are there as well with the team doing so well. You still there, Tori? Yeah, I can hear you. I think it's in and out. Are you in a probably in a dead zone? It happens to me all the time with the cell phone. So Mackenzie, let's just move on to the matchups that was on. So Cowboys, I mean, you were literally on fire on Twitter just with the Cowboy Nation yesterday. Just the fact that, you know, you could have won the game. Stay in contention with Tennessee, but it just seems like the game planning was just not all there.
And see, and kind of like I said yesterday on Twitter, you know, you can't place all the blame on Dak. That's what everybody wants to do, is everybody wants to place all the blame on Dak. Dak takes direction from Jason Garrett, who is a terrible coach. Like, I don't know how else to say it. Like, I've wanted Jason Garrett gone for like 3 or 4 years. Even before Dak had gotten there. So,
Jason Garrett's like Jeff Fisher with the Rams had. It's getting stale and old, and you're not making any real – I mean, the fact that you don't even play Elliott in the fourth quarter, that's a problem. How do you not play your best back in the fourth quarter? Just ridiculous.
It kind of reminded me of that Super Bowl when they didn't give the ball to Marshawn Lynch. That's kind of how
right.
I felt at that point in time, not playing Ezekiel Elliott. Like, why? Like, I just want to know what was going through Jason Garrett and Scott Linehan's mind that you're not going to play Ezekiel Elliott. Like, for what?
Yeah. Troy, Linehan's been a knucklehead ever since. He was with the Rams and the Detroit. He's never really been that great, and so you pair him up with Garrett, and I think their only saving grace is Jones. Jones hasn't had the nads to fire him.
Well, I don't know. I mean, when your owner, he wants to be all in the having press conferences and his own shows, and I mean, look, it's his team and all of that, but it's rarely Garrett that's coming out explaining what's going on. It's Jerry that's coming out doing it. I got a problem with that. I mean, to me, it's dysfunctional. I just think owners should, you know, do ownership stuff, and then coaches should manage the team. But, you know, Garrett doesn't get a chance to manage the team. And I'm not saying he's without fault here. Not at all. But I just think that just doesn't matter. And also, then, you know, Jerry Jones wants to be the GM all. I just think as long as they have that formula, you're going to keep getting the same result. But Jerry is too stubborn, and he loves the Cowboys way too much to let it go. I mean, that's just his thing. So, I mean, he loves that team, but I just think really he gets in the way of a lot of stuff that goes on there.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think there's just got to be a change in the guard. Either the coaching needs to go or something needs to change, because this coming next week, they're going to face, you know, a team, and I don't think they're going to get a win next week. I think next week, Mackenzie, you guys get, let me see my notes here. You get Philly. Philly.
We play the Eagles on Sunday.
Yeah, probably not going to be a good result if they're playing how, the way they're playing right now, to your point?
They're going to beat the Eagles.
You think so?
I'm calling right. Oh, yeah.
You're
yeah.
calling it? Really?
Yep.
They're going to surprise?
I think the thing is that that's a division matchup. So on paper, yeah, you want to say it's the Eagles, the division champs. They're getting the right in the ship. But, listen, Dallas knows that team. And Dallas right now is pissed off. I mean, everybody's writing them off. You got people, you know, saying that people's jobs are online. This is a heated rivalry. So it's not like Dallas doesn't know this team. And they also know Dallas also. So Dallas is the more desperate team. I think Dallas wins this game.
Well, if they keep with Elliott and normal balanced attack, I would agree with you. But if they stay one-sided with trying to air the ball to Cooper and Hearns and all that, I think they lose out.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think they were kind of wanting to throw it just to see how that passing game was going to mesh. You know, they got the new toy. They want to take it out for a spin type of thing. So, you know, I just think they wanted to see how Amari Cooper was going to help them going forward. And that's why they tried to throw it a little bit more. But I think they'll get back to giving the ball to Elliott. He's your best weapon. If Dak could just learn to take the check down a little bit more, I think it will be fine, but he wants to prove that he's a passer, and so he does try to fit the ball in sometimes, and it doesn't come out with a great result. So I just think if he takes the check down, if he runs when he needs to, and just becomes more efficient and just takes that role, I think they would actually win more games. But I think he's trying to do a little bit too much, you know, kind of do what Russell Wilson did his rookie year and kind of learn that way until you know, get up to snuff. So I just think that they're using them wrong, and maybe that is a bit of coach. But I just think they could get more out of that team with the talent that they have on there, but also with the offensive line. They have injuries also. But they have talent, so I think they can get it like the ship. They just got to get better coaching.
Yeah, McKenzie, you know what? That's going to be one of those years where I felt those years with the Rams when Fisher was in there. It just seems like frustrating, so frustrating. So much talent and then just not putting it together.
At this point, I have to agree with you. It's like one year we don't have the talent, but we're doing pretty good. Then we have the talent and our coaching sucks. I really need the Cowboys to find a balance. I also need somebody to buy the team from Jerry Jones.
I doubt that's going to happen.
I'm about sick of him too.
Until he dies.
I know.
Until he passes away, it's not going to happen. I can tell you that right now. It's not going to happen. McKenzie, we were talking about NFL Monday night. So, what do you say of the Niner resurgence? They beat down, they get the beat down on the cross rivals Raiders. Now this week they get on the G-men. So it's Mullins and Manning. I am thinking I'm a Rams fan, so I'm not going for San Francisco. By the way, sorry, Holly, but I'm taking the G-men to get the win here. Hopefully,
I'm hoping the Giants get a win because I love me some Saquon Barkley. To be honest, I'm really hoping they can pull it off. I just don't quite see it, only because Nick Mullins threw for 4 touchdowns on his very first NFL career start. That, and if George Kittle is as on fire as he's been, I don't foresee their defense stopping the two of them. I just don't.
So you're taking Frisco? Because I can tell you right now,
yeah,
the weekend in Northern California. Yeah, the weekend in Northern California is going to be pointing fingers at the other side of the bay, because if they get a second win here with this new quarterback, and they're literally laughing at the Raiders, because the Raiders take on Chargers, and I just don't think the Raiders have enough to muster with the Chargers. But we'll see. McKenzie, what's Carolina-Pittsburgh for you? Because we kind of talked about it. I think the Steelers squeeze one out. I think Carolina is playing good ball, but I think the running game for Pittsburgh maybe be the key here.
It's basically James Conner against Christian McCaffrey and Cam Newton. I'm going to have to go Christian McCaffrey. I mean, I just feel like he's a little bit more of a dynamic player in general than James Conner. Now, granted, James Conner has been as dynamic as he's been since being handed the keys as the starting running back for Pittsburgh, but I just feel like Christian McCaffrey is going to have a breakout game. I don't know why I feel like that, but I feel like it's going to happen. And it's going to be kind of like a middle scoring game. It's going to be like lower mid 20s. maybe lower 30s. Not, it's not going to be like 40s, 50s or anything like that.
All right. So, Troy, go ahead.
It bothers me that you don't use Christian McCaffrey more. I don't understand how you have.
I agree.
Kind of
I agree.
You don't put the ball in his hands as much as you can. I don't understand. Somebody has to figure that one out, because I would try to get the ball to him at least 20 times a game, whether it be running the ball and receiving. And you know, I just think maybe even more than that. He's just a weapon. Nobody can, no linebacker can cover him. So if you put him in a formation that makes the linebacker have to guard him one on one, oh my God, there's no linebacker in the NFL that can cover him. None.
Yeah.
He's just that much.
They're making a mistake there. I mean, they could use him as a girly mode as well, and he's got that potential. So yeah, I agree with you. All right, so Mackenzie, pretty much NFL we talked about already. College football, any key games that we need to be watching for this weekend? I know Troy has his favorites. Any college that we should be watching with popcorn and all that this week?
Popcorn game, that's a good one. Oof, I know there was a lot last week. Let me check my notes really quick here. Obviously, any game Iowa plays, I'm going to tell you, you should watch with popcorn. And actually, yeah,
well, of course.
Iowa and Northwestern, now that I think about it, Iowa is back at home with Northwestern coming to Kinnick Stadium. Iowa's unfortunately coming off another loss. I don't quite know why we've lost two in a row. And I really don't feel like getting into it because I'm sick of being salty, to be completely honest with you. But
you
got to
give credit. Purdue
did
contribute to a field goal, so I guess that's a win or something.
Oh, absolutely. No, and I can't take credit away from Purdue. And the thing that got Iowa was point hungry. They got point greedy. Going after all those two-point conversions, you should have been kicking the extra points. And then once you finally went up, you would have won the game by 1 point.
Yep, agreed.
Also, see, we got a Penn State or Wisconsin at Penn State. That'll be an interesting one. They're both 6-3. Trace McSorley versus Jake Cohn, I believe his name is. The backup for Wisconsin, Alex Hornibrook, is still out with a concussion, or in concussion protocol, I should say.
So that's another game. What's the third game that we should be watching?
Ohio State, Michigan State. Ohio State is at Michigan State. Ohio State had trouble with Nebraska last week. Of all teams, they had trouble with Nebraska. I had Nebraska with the upset, and then Dwayne Haskins just kind of pulled away with it. But the fact that they had trouble, they literally struggled, won that game last week, throws up a huge red flag for the Spartans, because this is now two games that Ohio State has been exposed. So I'm interested to see if Michigan State can pull up the upset.
Troy, Michigan's 6-0 right now. That's one of the games you're going to be watching because it's your team. What's another game that we should be watching, or two more games for popcorn reasons?
Alabama, Mississippi State. Mm-hmm. I think Mississippi State right now is quietly climbing up the ranks, and you know they're starting to make a little bit of noise. And you know, Carroll is a dual threat quarterback. He's leading the team in rushing. They're also leading, and of course in passing. And they don't pass the ball that much, but over the years, the teams that have beaten Alabama are teams with mobile quarterbacks. You remember Johnny Manziel. And even this year, where Kellen Mond for Texas A&M, I think he gave Alabama their toughest test on that defense that they have. So if Nick Fitzgerald can, you know, be a little bit aggressive, take some chances every now and then, and also be, you know, still run the ball just as he has all year, but still take care of the football a little bit, I think they have a chance to win. So, they have to do this in Tuscaloosa. That's a tough matchup, though. But I think that's going to be a good matchup to see. The other matchup I like, I talked earlier about Clemson and Boston College. So that matchup is, you know, Boston College is one of those teams where they're also sneaking around. And, you know, they've quietly built up a nice resume. And in a weak ACC division, you know, they have a chance to, you know, take their chance. You got A.J. Dillon, who most believe is going to be a top five pick in the NFL. Big running back, big strong guy. He's going against that Clemson defensive line. That's going to be a tough matchup that you want to keep an eye on. How are both of those teams going to equip themselves? So I'm definitely taking a look at that one. And the final game that I wanted to talk about was Bedlam. So this week is Oklahoma State against Oklahoma. These teams flat out do not like each other at all. So this is one of those rivalry games that you really want to pay attention to, because it just takes it up a notch, because there's a little bit of hate on that side, even though they do respect each other. So this is just going to be a great matchup. You got, you know, two explosive offenses. And again, you know, these teams just don't like each other. I definitely want to tune in for that matchup. It's going to be on 3:30, so take a look at that game. It's going to be great.
All right, so two games to watch for there, by both Salty McKenzie Brooks here and Troy Wilson, our college football guru. So you guys, it's going to be a great weekend. NFL-wise, it's going to be pretty awesome too. There's, you know, we were joking, McKenzie, on the NFL slate, because it's just kind of a weak slate anyways. I mean, unless you're watching, you know, Jacksonville against Indianapolis or something like that, because you're a hardcore Indianapolis fan. But other than that, and then you got what? You got Jets and Dolphins, if you're interested in that matchup as well. So it's going to be an awesome weekend for diehard fans, the fans that obviously are loyal to their clubs as well. So it's going to be a pretty awesome weekend there. Chicago-Detroit, it's going to be a pretty good, interesting matchup that we talked about. And the Chiefs get beaten down in Arizona. It's going to be pretty interesting to see if that happens or if they get surprised. But overall, the NFL slate is going to be pretty nice. So Carolina versus Pittsburgh on Thursday night to kick it off. Sunday night football, McKenzie's Cowboys taking on Philadelphia Eagles. And then Monday night football, the G-men taking on the 49ers and the new explosive quarterback Mullins. So it's pretty good three matchups there. And we'll be on Twitter. Salty's being on Twitter. Troy's on Twitter as well. So we'll be on Twitter pretty much Thursday night, Sunday night, and Monday night. So you can follow Troy Wilson at @TroyWilson_1. And then, McKenzie, what's your handle?
My handle is MackieT75.
MackieT75. And if you want Salty information on Cowboys or anything else on, what is it, Sunday night, you better be there, because she'll have plenty to talk about on Sunday night.
Absolutely.
Depending on the game. So hopefully Cowboys can pull it off, as Troy says. Maybe get, you know, their anger taken on Philadelphia. But Wentz and company, I think they are probably up for the challenge. So, but it's a great division, NFC East division game, because of the standings. So that's going to be crucial as well. Washington taking on Tampa Bay, that's going to be key right there. And my Rams taking on Seattle, clash of the Northwest. So that I'm going to be right down south and taking a look at it. So it's going to be pretty interesting. So I don't know. I think we got everything taken care of. We had no guests on this week. So hopefully next week I got a bunch of people lined up. So hopefully they'll commit and they'll come on and talk about what's going on in the women's game as well. But other than that, we had a great show. Thanks for coming in, McKenzie. I thought you said you weren't coming in, but I could have sworn that your message was that you weren't going to make it today, but thank God you made it.
I got your bag. I was able to get in. Like I said, I wasn't sure I was going to get in, but I was miraculously able to, you know, throw some salt on today's show.
Yeah. Don't worry, because you're one of the favorites, just like Troy is. So everybody loves to have you on. So the week you're not on, probably sad faces and unhappy faces, but pretty good that you came on. No big deal. Holly's not with us this week, and Holly's Niners are going to be front and center on Monday Night Football, taking on the G-men, and I'm pretty sure she's going to be excited for Mullins to do his thing in another week, take care of Manning and company. And then Louise is with UCLT, so she's probably going to be glued on to the Dallas-Philadelphia matchup because she's a Cowboys fan too. So both of you guys are going to be right there with that. So it's been a great week. I hope everybody voted. Episode 247 was our basically Election Day edition of the Gridiron Blitz. And so if you haven't voted, you still have time in certain areas, like out here in California, where it's about 7:30. You still have about an hour or so in certain poll places. I don't know how it works out there on the East Coast, but if you haven't voted, go ahead and vote. And if you haven't mailed in your ballot, obviously it's the last day to do it. So take out and exercise your right and go vote. And it's important to do it. And make sure you read up and take your time as well. So all of us voted, so I don't know if whoever's listening to us, if you haven't voted, you better be heading out to vote. All right. So, Troy, McKenzie, we're out of here. I think it's pretty much done. I don't have anything else to, unless you guys want to add anything else.
The Hawkeyes better win on Saturday. I'm going to be hot.
Oh, my God. No way.
Blue, Michigan has a business trip in Rutgers this weekend. You know, going to go in, take in the sights, go to New York City a little bit. It's close by. And, you know, get into Rutgers and take care of business and get back home. So, can't wait to get this season down to the Buckeyes game. I'm just chopping at the bit. Hopefully Michigan stays in their position or moves up. So looking forward to Michigan finishing out the season strong for John Harbaugh.
Yeah, my neighbor said the same thing to me, but in the opposite way, Troy. He said, you're going to lose this week again. I said, sure, the Bruins are going south. We're good. So I'm already reserved for that. Another loss.
Hey, hopefully things will be looking up over recruiting for those guys. I mean, Kelly can recruit.
Well, we'll see, but it hasn't been well taken. But I'm more excited for my Lakers, and my Kings are in the pits. We fired our coach finally, Troy, so that was a good move, I guess, in a way. Get rid of the coach, so it worked out.
Revolving door in the NHL. You see, coaches get fired all the time in the NHL. I mean, that's just, I don't know how important these guys are. Maybe they aren't that important. I don't I mean, am I wrong? I always see NHL coaches get fired, and I can never figure out. They just put in another guy that used to play there. You see that all the time in the NHL. So,
It's called a backstabbing environment. That's what I've been told. It's called.
Yeah.
The interim tag in the NHL is considered the stab in the back. That's what it's considered. Hey, by the way, you're no longer welcome in the building. Your assistant now runs the team. That's literally how that welcoming goes. That's sad, but that's the way it is. It's a revolving door more so than any other sport. I agree with you.
Oh, man.
Go Caps, I guess.
Oh, yeah. They're still strong right now. So, I mean, they've taken a couple L's, and, I think they do miss Barry Trotz a little bit, getting these guys managed up. But you know what? They're still in second place right now and only 2 points out. I like that. I mean, I like their chances going forward. So, I mean, they still look like a viable team, and as long as Great Eight is out there, these guys got a great team. I can't wait till we
Here's the vibe.
Back.
Here's
when
my vibe. Just like in Oakland, my Kings are that bad. Just like the Raiders, that's how the Kings are right now, just in disarray, which is not good. So, but anyways.
I mean, at least y'all have y'all have one team in Oakland that's good, though.
Yeah. Well,
the Golden State
That's an opinion for another time because I'm a Laker fan, so I will give them respect, but I don't know about that.
Don't worry. LeBron James is supposed to win you guys a championship this year. So.
Right.
We'll see.
Yeah, and Jesus is supposed to come soon. That's what I hear. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. That's just what I'm saying. Oh, my God. But good. It's a positive vibe, right? So we've got to have a positive vibe. That's all I'm saying. All right. I'm being real, McKenzie. You think we're going to take on Curry and company? It's not going to happen. The West is so brutal.
Your guys are not going to beat my Warriors. I'll tell you that. So,
well, no,
so
that's what I'm talking about. I am being a true basketball fan. I mean, I'm a diehard Lakers fan, but it's just not there. Roster-wise, it's not there. Are you telling me Ingram and Kuzma and LeBron and Rondo going to match up with Durant, Curry, and company? No, not going to happen.
Oh, absolutely.
Not going to happen.
No one's beating my Golden State Warriors this year, I'll tell you that. We'll go for a 3-3.
No, they are scary good, and they have been scary good for a long time. And then you had Boogeyman. Well, he hasn't even shown up. Wait until he shows up. That's going to be brutal for everybody else in the West. Brutal. Anyways, we got off track. It was supposed to be a football show. Anyways, no big deal. But you know how that goes. But no, I'm like right now. I'm the only hopeful thing I have is my Rams. So Troy over here, he's all happy joy because he, you know, his team's the world champ. So, but that's the only team I got is the Rams, pretty much.
He's a bandwagoner.
No, he's not. He's been diehard since day one.
The Caps and the Red Sox. I got two teams. There we go.
You definitely don't lie to Boston. Don't lie to yourself.
Come on.
Hey, look, about to get the NFC East Championship. I'll take that. About to get the Big Ten Championship. I'll take that.
Y'all going to get a swift kick in the butt. Y'all going to look.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Hey, you know what? We can't end it on violence, but we can end it on just slapping each other around. That's my grandmother would say. Slap yourself around. Listen here, boy. That's what my grandmother used to say. But it's a good sign to wake up. Oh, boy. Now, Mackenzie, I mean, you know, as anybody else knows, you know, we got to be real. So Golden State's just too good. And the West... LeBron coming to the West, you know it. Everybody knows it. Not going to be a factor. It's so brutal. He owned the East because it was a steamroll. He could get by everybody. Not going to happen. And as a Laker fan, I'm glad we got him. I think he elevates to another level for us, but it's not the answer. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, I see the Lakers going to the Western Conference semifinals. I don't see them going anywhere further.
If we make the playoffs, it would be nice for year one of LeBron. That's all I'm looking for is the playoffs. Just if we make the 8th seed and get bounced off in the first round, that's going to be bad. That's a good stepping stone. But, you know, we already pointed out the best team in the West is Golden State, and it's brutal in the West. You know that. If you don't have a true center, you're not going to compete. I mean, McGee's good, but he came from the Warriors. That's the reason he's good, not because anywhere else. So we got to build on stuff, so we're good. So, guys, that's it. I think that's all I had. If you guys want to check out our stuff, it's at facebook.com, Grand Iron Beauties. On Twitter, you can check us out on Twitter, Grand Iron Beauty, and you can always go to each individual handle there. And we hang out on Sunday night, Monday night, and Thursday night. So join us there. And then you can also follow Troy Wilson, Troy Wilson_1, and then Mac, what was your handle again? I can't remember your handle for the life of me.
T75.
There you go. I'm going to write it down in my notes right now. Mackie T75. There you go. So if you want to get salty, it's Mackie T75. That's where you go because she's all over it. I'm out. Had a great week so far. My wife's back in good standing. Everything's good. So rehabbing, as they say. And so for the absent Holly Custis and Louise Bean, for Mackenzie Brooks and Troy Wilson, Oscar Lopez saying we're out of here. We'll catch you here next week on the Gridiron Blitz right here on Block Talk Radio. Tune in and Apple Podcasts and as well on Player FM now. Have a great night, everybody.